Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we've thrown a lot out there, and you guys have called in, so let's just do this. Let's get as many of you guys in this hour as we can. 248-539-9797. What a game. What a win. What it means. Let's start with Caleb in Detroit. Caleb, good morning.
Good morning, man. How you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Man, first, I just wanted to say, like, you know, the defense, you know, they technically only gave up two touchdowns, you know. When you look at it, you know, if Monty would have never, like, you know, turned over the ball, I think that we would have won by a little bit of a larger margin. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Do we need another pass rusher? Yes. I'm starting to feel like, you know, another pass rusher can definitely put us, like, back top five defense, like most dangerous defense that can secure us to make it through the playoffs. I just don't know if Brad Holmes is going to make a move.
Like any move?
Like as far as like maybe a Za'Darius Smith, but like I don't know if like a Max Crosby, that would be like a dream come true.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the same conversation we had all last week. Is Max Crosby even on the market? Is Myles Garrett even on the market? Have no idea.
But I would add good football players. You know, and that would be, I would start with the best players you could possibly add, and I'd get told no until I can get a player that I get told yes on. But I do think you should be willing to trade first-round picks. Got to make sense. I'm not giving up multiple firsts for Za'Darius, but multiple firsts for the right guy. You got to be willing to give up first-round picks to win a Super Bowl.
Well, I don't know how many guys. There's probably three guys that you would have to consider giving up first-round picks for. Max Crosby would be certainly one of them. Myles Garrett, another one.
Yeah.
Hendrickson, and I don't know if he'll be available Cincinnati
either.
Is even looking at, because their defense is not the strength of that team.
He's playing well, and they just won.
Yeah, and so, but it was against Cleveland. So I'm not sure right now what they're looking at in terms of the prospects of their season. So I'm looking at, you know, everybody else after that. Za'Darius Smith, if you're looking for a true edge defender, he would be probably at the top of the list, and it would most likely only cost you a sixth.
Sure.
Maybe as high as a fifth.
It's why it feels like that's the bare minimum they do, because that deal should be there and it shouldn't cost much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they will do something. It's just going to be a question of how much will they do? How much do they need to do? Look, as they're currently constructed, they're the best team in the NFC without Aiden Hutchinson. That means in the playoffs, you should be able to beat anybody. Now, I want to increase your chances. I don't want the only way to win for you to have an offensive shootout. I want there to be a chance like early in the year that your defense can help you win the game. But I think as currently constructed, they could beat everybody in their division. They should be the best team in the NFC North, which would mean you're the best team in the NFC. To win a Super Bowl, you've already raised the concern. The Mahomes, the Josh Allens, the Lamars, those quarterbacks, if you have to blitz them at a 60% rate to get mild amounts of pressure, listen, get to the game and find out, but get to the game with your best chance to win it, and that's why I believe they have to do something.
And here's where timing really matters. If you're going to sit and wait for Trey Hendrickson, because right now they're 3-4, the Cincinnati Bengals, they're third in the AFC North. They play the Eagles this week. Let's just say they lose that one. Then they play the Raiders. Let's just say they lose that one. They're sitting at 3-6. Do they look at that and say, well, maybe we will sell a Trey Hendrickson because we need to find a way to get young, cheap talent in next year's draft, and maybe we want to pair a couple of first-round picks to trade up and get somebody that's younger than Trey that we could continue to build around.
And cheaper.
That's part of it. But if you're sitting there waiting because the Browns say, you know what? Or not the Browns, the Bengals say, we're going to wait and see how the next 2 weeks play out. You can't just sit there and wait because there are other people that are going to look for edge defenders, and Za'Darius Smith may be off the market at that point.
You're right.
And you look at that bottom of the AFC playoff field right now, you guys realize that the Indianapolis Colts are a wild card in the AFC right now, and the Bengals are a game back from them.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to give up.
Look, if they lost to the Raiders and you're waiting, that's November 3rd. So that's 2 days before the deadline. You're going to wait until then. and let that play out. I mean, and that's
the risk you run.
To me, he is the number one candidate, because you would not have to give up what you'd have to with the others, and he would provide, and he could be a future asset. Like, I love him, and I think he's the fit. I just don't think, like, that's why you wanted the Browns to win yesterday, you know?
You had a Tim Patrick note?
Yeah, real quick here. Let me gather this. So I'm going to do something here. Player A has 12 catches, 183 yards receiving, 15.3 per catch, one touchdown this year.
Okay.
Player B has 10 catches, 165 yards, 16.5 per catch, zero touchdowns.
So they're nearly identical players.
Player A, five games played this year. Two-year, $9 million contract. Player B has played in five games this year. 1 year, $1.5 million. Player B is Tim Patrick.
Yeah, I figured.
Player A is Josh Reynolds.
Yeah.
And I think Player B is better player.
Well, and it's the stuff that doesn't show up in the stats. Tim Patrick had the huge block on the Gibbs run. He was downfield, huge stalk block. And then he had the big kickout block on the seven-man pressure that Minnesota sent on the St. Brown touchdown that Goff threw. He needed time. He needed to get it in the seam. Tim Patrick's done a lot of the little things. That's a great pickup for this team.
It's a great pickup. And I think at the beginning of the year, obviously coming out of training camp, we were all wondering, well, man, maybe they should have just paid the freight on Josh Reynolds. But to be able to find a guy like Tim Patrick, who is putting up similar numbers, who is effective, because they're not asking him to be the number one receiver. They're not asking him to be two or even three. They're just asking him to simply fill a role. And that role is first downs and just be available, because we want to throw the ball to Amon-Ra St. Brown. We want to throw the ball to J-Mo. We want to throw it to Sam Laporta. But we need you to be available.
But it's the biggest need coming into the season was the wide receiver room.
Yeah, no longer.
Brad Holmes' patience paid off. You think he's going to cash that receipt?
I don't know. I think he cashed a lot of receipts last year. He certainly could. But
by the way, I don't think people were saying like he was an idiot for not addressing the position. There wasn't really a lot of Brad Holmes hate over it. It was just, hey, you're a really good team. What's the biggest hole? It was almost a compliment. Like, we're looking at the third receiver as the biggest need, or kicker is the biggest need. You know you've built a hell of a roster when we're almost searching the depth chart to find your biggest need.
I would argue, though, that...
You think he took some heat?
No. That the edge opposite Aiden Hutchinson was a bigger conversation than number three or number four receiver.
I agree with you on that, and it's obviously become...
It's even bigger now.
Chris and Ypsilanti, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. I hope you can hear me. I just want to give Aaron Glenn his flowers. Rewatch that Brian Branch pick. It looks to me like they're playing like an inverted cover one. Mm-hmm. Terrion Arnold's lined up in man coverage, but really he's the deep zone. They clearly know the deep crosser's coming, and he signals to Brian Branch to pass off the receiver. Brian Branch plays it beautifully, but the whole thing was just beautiful to look at. The execution was incredible. Terrion Arnold, he hasn't had a penalty in the last two games. His development is already starting to take off. And this is a young secondary. A lot of these guys are on the rookie contracts. Kirby Joseph's made a quantum leap. Brian Branch has made a quantum leap, and he was already really good. Like, the foresight to take him off nickel and put him at the safety position so that opposing teams can't take him off the field in 12 personnel, it's just sheer brilliance. And Aaron Glenn is a jewel. He's not just a good schematic defender. He's a great teacher, and I called last year to tell people this. He's a great teacher, and you need teachers at coaches when you have young players like we do. He really deserves credit for what he's been able to do with this defense, and especially this defensive backfield. I'm just been really, really impressed with how far this team has come.
I think it's a great point. Yeah. I think it's a great phone call, Chris.
And here's the other thing. When Chris is talking about the signals that Terrion Arnold, one of the things, we thought this team was going to have more talent in the secondary, but it was going to take some time for them to gel, for the chemistry to be there. And now all of a sudden, in week seven, we're starting to see that chemistry, guys understanding their role in whatever the play call is and how that scheme, how does it affect all three other guys or four other guys when I'm doing this at my position? Or if I get out of position, how does it stress the defense? They're starting to understand all those intricacies.
And if you try to do too much, you put your teammates in a bad position too. Yep. So it all works in concert in
that secondary. Got to build that trust.
And I think they are. Brian Branch is a difference maker on defense. He's having an all-pro season so far. And we know they're going to have to be better on the back end because no matter what they do, they're not going to get Aiden-like production. I thought that was a great sign. It's a great point. Mm-hmm. Glenn does deserve his flowers. He's taken a lot of heat from the fan base. He's taken a lot of heat on calls on this station. He deserves his flowers today. That was a good job by them. They had the right plan coming in. They knew they had to blitz, and they did. Didn't always get home. They stayed with it. It came through late in the game. And when you blitz, you're asking more of those guys at the safety spots. You're asking more of your guys at the corner spots, putting them on an island sometimes. And they responded. It's a good phone call. 248-539-9797. 835 will get you Dan Campbell. Let you know what he had to say addressing the team in the locker room. It's 97.1.
Hey, the awards just keep rolling in for Dr. Berkowitz at Michigan Hair Restoration. He just won the Macomb Daily's Reader Choice Award for 2024's Best of the Best Plastic Surgeon. Congrats to him, and how incredible is it that Dr. B is right here in Metro Detroit, making it easy to restore your hair by the very best. If you've been thinking about going to see him, go do it now. He'll have you looking younger and feeling more confident with a thicker head of hair. And the sooner you go to see him, the more options you're going to have. Dr. B has the most advanced medical therapies and natural pathways to stop your hair loss and improve thickness. And these therapies just keep getting better and better results for his patients. With treatment plans that fit almost every budget, Dr. B will create a custom plan that's just for you, and he guarantees all of his treatments. So call today, mention 97.1, and you'll receive a complimentary natural hair remedy treatment at your consultation that's valued at $1,000. For more information and to schedule your consult, go to MichiganHairRestoration.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Campbell would say, you want his stats? He won the game. Jake Bates, big kick. We'll play the full locker room audio at 8:35 this morning. A victory Monday, a statement win. You go on the road, you overcome a deficit, you put them away late, and the offense as advertised. The defense, good enough. Yeah. Found a way. And listen, that's part of the story today is good enough for that game, good enough to win a Super Bowl, still feel like they need to add somebody. Don't get lulled into a false sense of security just because they won that game.
Yeah, it's they're going to need to add somebody to help apply pressure to quarterbacks. You can't always blitz because that stresses the secondary. And I thought they did a really nice job of disguising some of the blitzes. And I'm not going to sit here and say it fooled Sam Darnold, but you're not just always trying to fool the quarterback. It's the receivers that have to adjust their route when a blitz happens. It's a running back that maybe stays in protection because he thinks there's a blitz and then a blitz doesn't come. Like all of those things are a part of creating confusion for the opponent's offense.
And let's give it up to Jared Goff. How about this? In addition to him playing nearly perfect against a defense that creates a lot of havoc, look at the quarterbacks who have played Minnesota in the previous 3 weeks. C.J. Stroud threw two picks. Jordan Love threw three picks. Aaron Rodgers threw three picks. Meanwhile, Jared Goff, maestro. Mm-hmm. Jared Goff, the ball doesn't hit the turf. He's perfect in the first half. He's been perfect in three different first halves this season. The last three games where the Lions have been unstoppable offensively, he is absolutely in complete control. 87% passer, 13 yards per attempt, so it's not all short stuff. He threw that pass on the seam to St. Brown. He is doing everything he wants. He is playing as good as any quarterback in football.
He's playing as good as any quarterback in football because he is playing as the smartest quarterback in football. And yeah, every quarterback wants to hit their guy down the field. J-Mo, Amon-Ra St. Brown. They want those big plays. But he's been a guy that has been pretty much been egoless. I'm willing to hit Jahmyr Gibbs out of the backfield because they took everything else away. And until you take away Jahmyr Gibbs, I'm just going to dink and dunk. Until you take away Tim Patrick, until you take away all these other short passes, it was the second quarter before he actually went downfield to hit him on Ross St. Brown.
And that's the whole point is like he can and he does, but he's not going to force it.
Right. I don't know in a quarterback's mind how much when a play is called, they go up there with some preconceived notions, right? Defense kind of dictates exactly what you're looking at before the game or before the play is snapped. And then all of a sudden, everything changes. And yes, you want to be able to go downfield. You want those first downs. Some quarterbacks will try and force it into small and tight windows, even though they have an easier pass that might not pick up a first down, but it puts you in second and two.
Yep.
Jared Goff has been 100% egoless in taking what the defense gives because later in the game, they're going to give you more.
Well, and because he knows his coach has got his back, if you get into a fourth and short, you're going to get the extra down. And a great example of that is, and they talked about it on the broadcast, Sam Darnold had a third down where he could have thrown it for about a yard or two shy of the first down.
Yeah.
And he hesitated, and the play went nowhere, and they kicked a field goal. And they brought up on the broadcast, if he throws it, if he trusts his guy, he may fall forward for a first down, but if he doesn't get it, it's a fourth and one or two, and you give yourself a chance to go for it. And Jared Goff keeps the offense in a good position. They don't fall behind the sticks because he takes what the defense has given him.
It's fun to watch, and this is a fun offense to watch for a lot of different reasons. One, they score a lot of points. That's fun to watch. But they're able to consistently move the ball because they have a consistent rushing attack. You get two different weapons in the backfield, and then you have seven different weapons that you can throw the ball to. There's going to be three and outs. There's going to be times where there's drop balls. There's going to be times where they do come up short. But a high percentage of times, this offense continues to move because you simply can't defend all the weapons.
248-539-9797. Let's get to the phones. Mike in Livonia, you're on 97.1.
Hey, what's up, fellas? So I just wanted to say Goff's point when he came to compare Tim Patrick to Josh Reynolds was spot on. I think for the longest time, and I've noticed this since the beginning of the season, because we were asking the first two games, hey, what's wrong with this offense? Because we expected it to be better. And it literally got unlocked the minute Tim Patrick got elevated from the practice squad and then made a couple of catches on the outside that allowed the defenses to say, okay, we can't just take the middle of the field and then wait until they get into the end zone to take the edges out. So literally, I think the underrated hero that has been so far of the season when it comes to the offense has been Tim Patrick in the sense that he's provided them that go-to target where if Goff needs to step back and just throw the ball up there, and he's made those catches, if you noticed, in the last two, three games, where, you know, he just throws it up there and Tim Patrick will make the adjustment, come back and catch the ball, even though sometimes he's covered or not. And so that takes away from the fact that they can just zero in on the middle of the field, take away from I'm on Ross St. Brown, or take the intermediate when Jamison is about to catch that ball and hit that speed. And so that literally just took this offense to another level. Another point I wanted to make, and you guys were, you know, spot on with it too as well, is the competence when it comes to this coaching staff. And this is why I laugh sometimes when some of the hosts will nitpick, like, well, the punt and this. Dude, just watching the development when it comes to this coaching staff from the practice squad up and how they come ready to play, right? They're able to perform even when they're called upon and they're just backups, right? It just shows, like, it, John, you know this from Michigan this year. We're just not seeing that from that coaching staff. And in comparison, this Lions team is just killing it. You know, Campbell, his assistants, and, you know, Ben Johnson used to get a lot of slack, and obviously AG too as well. But Ben Johnson was getting a lot of slack for the fact that sometimes he's too persistent with his game plans, takes it out, you know, takes him out of mojo, whatever. But you know what? Yesterday was just a chess masterpiece. Mm-hmm. And you were going up against supposedly the best DC in all of football, and we came out on top, and he was ready. And you look at it there, you know, their D-line was sometimes not ready for us. Their corners, you know, were kind of sometimes shocked on some of the plays. It just shows you what competence looks like.
Yeah, I mean, the competence of this offense, and I know that there's a lot of people going, how come Jameson Williams had one catch for -4? How come Sam Laporta only had one catch for 25? He only had two targets when you have seven different receivers. And it takes all of them in conjunction to unlock the offense the way that it's been unlocked. It could still be effective offense if Tim Patrick is down, because you still have a guy like Allen Robinson, very experienced, that could come in and fill that role. And it's the fact that when you watch J-Mo run some of those deep routes, they have to honor that because they've seen how the threat that can be a big play. They don't want to give up the big play, just like the Lions don't want to give up a play to Justin Jefferson. So, all right, well, we'll let you go with Jalen Naylor underneath, and we'll be there to stop it before it gets to first down yardage. It's Jameson Williams, the threat. Sam Laporta is certainly a threat, but when you cover him and you cover Jameson Williams, are you going to be able to cover Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs, or Tim Patrick all at the same time?
Nope. And you know what's so big about that is there's not an ego. And you know that because they all block down the field. Those are not sexy plays, but those are plays that are winning plays. And you're not going to see J-Mo complaining this week because he didn't catch five passes for 100 yards.
Right.
You're not going to see. I mean, Tim Patrick hadn't played in the NFL since 2021 because of a series of injuries. He very much brings that workman's, I'm just happy to be on the roster. I'll do my role. I'll do what's necessary for us to get a first down or a touchdown. And it's infectious. No, I think that's a really good point.
It's an offense that is bordering on near impossible to defend. And when you have a quarterback as smart and as experienced as Jared Goff, who doesn't think, I have to go downfield to Jameson Williams, or I have to get him his touches, I have to get the ball to Amon-Ra St. Brown. Now, you want to get the ball to Amon-Ra St. Brown because that's what makes this offense go. But when you have so many weapons, all you have to do is find the one on first down that gives you a chance to convert on second down. If it's second down, you just find the weapon that gives you a chance to move the sticks, or gives you the best option to move the sticks on third down. And you mentioned it. If it's a fourth down, I've got faith in the coaches that if we're in the right place on the field, if we're on the 40-yard line, our own 40-yard line, and it's fourth and one, we're going to go for it. And with this offensive line, we're going to pick it up.
Think about it. They did it against one of the best defenses in football, who had 2 weeks to scheme up a whole bunch of nonsense, and it didn't matter. The Lions went in there, rolled up a big spot, scored when they had to, and won the football game. We're going to play Dan Campbell's speech to the team afterwards. We also should mention the fake punt. Want to get some thoughts on that. Overreactions at 8:50. TJ Lang at 9 o'clock. It's 97.1. And everybody's smiling on a victory Monday. Fall is here. Don't be one of the millions of Americans that lets their dental benefits go to waste every year. Give Brightside Dental a call. Get in for an exam or a cleaning, whatever you need. Appointments available in October, November, and December. 8 Metro Detroit locations. Give them a call at 1-800-PAINLESS or visit brightsidedental.com. If you're someone who's subconscious about that smile, let's take care of it. Brightside Dental and Orthodontics means they have braces, Invisalign, and they've got deals going right now. $1,500 off braces for new patients. Check them out. Brightside Dental, no judgment, just care. On that play, Tim Patrick is kicking out linebacker Andrew Van Ginkle. Grit, toughness. Tom, you're next up. You're on 97.1. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hope everything is well, John. Can't wait to see you in a few weeks when we get baseball going.
Hell yeah. So how you doing, Coach?
I'm doing great, John. Thanks. Everything is good. Football's going good. One more week, and hopefully it's a successful Saturday. Listen, I want to talk about culture, and I don't think this has been brought up enough. The turnaround that I've seen in 3 years has been nothing short of absolutely amazing. I've never seen this in any sport in my life, and football kind of lends itself to that. But, you know, being a family season ticket holder since 1958, I'm going to be 68 years old. I've never seen this in my life. And I think when we talked about losing an Aiden Hutchinson, as great a loss as that is, and it really, really is, you have to understand that there's 52 other guys in that locker room that are willing to do a little bit more. I think you saw a great up-the-middle pass rush yesterday, and I think we saw it last week, too. You're not going to replace Aiden Hutchinson. There's maybe three, four guys in that entire league that are paying big money that can do what Aiden Hutchinson does. So you're never going to replace him. So when we have to trust these guys because the culture in that building is so good, it's the next man up mentality. And I don't think that really the fan of the game really understands that, what that means. I mean, from top to bottom. What they did yesterday when they were down 10-0, they went back to their roots. They slowed the game down. Mm-hmm. They ran the football. They got their wheels back on. Then they scored four touchdowns in a row. Without that scoop and score, they win that game by double digits. They went into that environment yesterday, and arguably everybody had them as the number one power-ranked team with Minnesota, right? And they absolutely physically dominated the line of scrimmage yesterday. And their D-line played great. I thought their defense played great. Brian Branch is the next coming of Troy Polamalu. I don't think people understand that, what he does for that football team. The way he can strike as a safety and that incredible interception. The culture is unbelievable, and it is the next man up. When you got a guy like Trevor Nowoski, I think it's ironic that a local kid, a D2 kid from Saginaw Valley that played at the same time, graduated, I think, the same time that Aiden Hutchinson did, you know, ended the game with a sack. This stuff just doesn't happen.
Oh, Tom,
it just doesn't happen.
It's been such a great story, and the best part is we always say this, it's not over yet. I mean, the story's not done. There's going to be more of these games looming. I mean, that was a statement win for the Lions. I want to play Dan Campbell audio real quick, John. 30 seconds on the punt, the fake punt.
Not a fan at that time. We saw it against Kansas City in the opener last year, and that's because they were playing against a team that was better than them. They were trying to steal a possession, trying to increase, especially early in the game. This is a completely different team and different situation for the Detroit Lions. They don't have to steal possessions. They don't have to put their, if you don't convert, defense in a bad position. Now you got a better defense, and I expected them to handle it better, but you just don't have to. I don't like the decision, and I don't think it's necessary at this point in time.
Yeah, and I've always understood the fake punts are you're looking for a green light, you get a look, and you go for it. That defense had that sniffed out from the beginning. It was dead on arrival. I think the motion was a dead giveaway. I'm not really sure why that was the play and what gave them the go-ahead to even attempt the fake punt in that spot. But we'll hear from Dan Campbell at the podium this week and on our show tomorrow. Let's hear from Dan Campbell in the locker room after the game. I'm fired up.
How about the vet move by rookie kicker? I just want to thank the offense for putting me in position to make this play.
And as Goff said, big boy effing win. Let's get to Heather with the news.
You mentioned this earlier in the show, but Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson is likely out for the season after he was carted off the field with an Achilles injury during Sunday's game against the Cincinnati Bengals. After the game, the coach talked about, you know, he's going to undergo further testing, right? We're going to really see what's going on. But it did look like it is a season ender. And John, you brought this up too, that while he was injured, right? And he looked devastated. It looked like he was in tears. People in the stands were cheering. There was boos during the pregame. And his teammate, Myles Garrett, let everyone know that he was very disappointed in their actions following the game.
He was disappointed.
Ashamed,
Jameis Winston was very vocal about the disappointment of hearing from the fans. And I understand the fans' feelings.
Disdain for him as a human and a quarterback.
Right. But in that moment, I think they could have acted better.
Yep. Detroit Pistons previous head coach Monty Williams has landed a new job, this time at the youth level. So he was fired from the Pistons back in June, and he has now accepted a job at a prep school in San Antonio where he's going to be coaching boys basketball, and he's going to be coaching his own son, who apparently is like one of the
top recruits.
In high school around the country. So that's exciting.
He was playing at Brother Rice last year, and now they're back in the San Antonio area. I'm curious if his pay for the high school will be deducted from the $67 million that he's owed by the Pistons.
So that's one thing you want to know. I want to know if Killian Hayes is also going to start over his son the way he was starting over Jaden Ivey. No, I don't think so.
Okay, so going to a Lions game, or really any other NFL game for that matter, is going to cost you a whole lot more than ever before. So over the last 10 years, the cost of attending a game, which they're saying includes the ticket, your parking, a beer, and a hot dog, has risen by 39%. The Las Vegas Raiders, they have a new stadium, the relocation. They've experienced the most significant price hikes. So compared to 2013, attending a game is $103 more expensive now. The Cleveland Browns nearly doubled in cost to go to a game now. When it comes to the Lions, tickets have risen by 49% over the past decade.
I don't think over a decade that's unreasonable.
No.
It seems like a lot.
I hated the one-off season jump, but over 10 years, you do expect...
Over a decade's time,
of course, everything goes up.
There's only one team that saw a decline in pricing.
Really?
Uh-huh. And that's the Dallas Cowboys by 1%. So in 2013, it was the average price was $162 to go to a game. Now it's $160.
Hmm. Oh, you disappoint your fans annually. You got to do something for them. That's Heather with the news. We've got overreactions from the weekend. Next, TJ Lang joins us in studio at 9. It's 97.1.
All right. I want to give a shout out to YMCA Detroit's Girls on the Run. This incredible program isn't just about running. It's about building confidence, making connections, and empowering young girls to set and achieve their goals. They're getting ready to kick off their big 5K fall celebration in November, and they need our support. So whether you want to register or volunteer, cheer, or donate, head to ymcadetroit.org to learn more, or gotrdetroit.org to register and help inspire the next generation of strong, confident women.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.